welcome to Cannon Crew, a weekly podcast discussing the Charleston Battery. Your host, Granite, will be joined by other defenders of the fleet from the Black and Yellow Supporters section, and together they will help fortify and conquer. They are the Cannon Crew.
Welcome to the Cannon Crew podcast. I'm Granite, and I'm joined by Ryan.
Hey, what's going on?
And Patrick.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, we're here to discuss the Charleston Battery and recent matches and what's going on in the future. But first, we all played Saturday, Tuesday, and we're back at it again this Saturday. So what you all been doing in your off time?
Just trying to stay on that soccer grind.
Yeah, I'm taking a little breather mainly today and tomorrow and just watching a little Masters, a little relaxation, a little golf therapy.
A little golf therapy there in Augusta. So let's talk about Tuesday's match against Lou City. The atmosphere pregame at Patriots Point was just freaking awesome. It started out, I got there a little early and visited with the regiment, had a couple of pints, and it just kept building and building and building, and more people kept showing up. And then before we know it, we had, I think the attendance numbers were 4,465 people in attendance to watch a Tuesday match. How big is that, Ryan?
That's as big as you can get it. We had one whole section sold out along with the supporter section. This is what we've been asking for. This is even bigger than our home opener. And again, it's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday night in Charleston. And what more could you ask for from our community? We had all sorts of youth players from all sorts of teams all across Charleston area. They're out supporting us. And it was great having everybody out there.
Patrick, you and I hung out pre-match, and then throughout the match, Ryan was off with his significant other and her parents and just having a good time. We'd see him every once in a while and wave at him. And at the end of the match, we saw each other like 20 feet away, but they were having a good time.
You have to talk about the weather. Amazing. Tuesday night game. Perfect. Not too warm, not too cold. The drums were banging. You can hear them getting people riled up, ready to go. The tunnel, as always. Standing there, packed, crowded, a little intimidating for the opposition, I would think, but has to be pretty empowering for the home fans and the home team, just being there with the massive amount of support, cheering them on, clapping them out onto the field.
It was a great atmosphere pre-match going into it. So let's move on into some lineup changes. Archer come on and Allen come on, and that was a change from last match where it appears that Archer replacing Palma, and Gutierrez wasn't starting, but it doesn't seem like a one-to-one swap for Allen.
Allen coming in for Gutierrez, what we did was, I thought, was quite smart. Take Torres, who played in that previous camp's position, and you slide him back out wide to the left side, slide Ikaza up to now that cam position, and you let Allen play in his natural position next to Malloy in the midfield. They executed that quite well, and going forward on the attack, I thought was, as Pat said it before, and he'll say it again tonight, it was probably one of our best midfields we've had all season.
Yeah, it was a great selection. It seemed like Coach Pierman was moving things around just a touch, trying to perfect it. We're going up against Lou City, who was top of the table and had coming in to meet us, was 4 wins, no losses. And so we were tweaking just a little bit coming off of Rhode Island, and it seems like those little adjustments seem to work, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, I think we all agree this is one of our strongest selections that we've seen so far, just with the amount of 1-2 touches, touch play where people are overlapping, someone's filling their space, someone's creating a little more space. But not only moving forward, but defensively, the midfielders really stepped up for each other and already covering a space as a supporting role. So when we did accidentally lose the ball, they were already there to try and win it back. So it really wasn't any time lost or space lost or positioning lost. It was someone, mainly Allen and Malloy, covering that, which I think is our two best center options in midfield, because they just play everywhere. It's almost like you have an extra guy on the field with those two.
Now, I can't remember if we've ever played Emilio, Malloy, and Allen all three at the same time. Seemed like Ikaza was coming on for Allen for a couple of matches, but I think this is the first time we had all three of them on the pitch at the same time.
Yeah. Maybe it's just getting Torres is now really comfortable on that wing role and having the support of Allen and Malloy behind him, that Ikaza can kind of shine in that free roam cam position and just support our three main attack threats up there. I mean, we were at 11 shots last game and it kind of looked shaky, but this game really stepped it back to what we've seen for most of the season. So 20 shots total, 9 on target. A lot of opportunity and not a lot given up for the opposition. Even our back line was playing really high on a press for the entire first half, trying to keep that offside line almost at the midfield point.
So we brought in our captain, Archer. Palma went off, and it seemed like that center back pairing seemed to work really well at stopping a lot of their attacks. We'll talk a little bit later, but their only really offensive attacks were from set pieces, from corner kicks. So the rest of the match, it appeared our backs were doing their job.
Yeah, it really just looked like it was a lack of concentration on the corner kicks. I mean, nothing more than that. Can't single anyone out. The first goal was so early on that I think we really were just looking over our shoulders in the box as opposed to get your position, step up. I mean, Archer was more of a free roam role. He was marking a spot and not told to mark an actual man, which I think best suits him being so tall to get to the ball before Grinwis can get there. But I don't know. Ryan, did you see anything different on their goals?
No, as a goalie, you know, I train my keepers with this as well. You always have a guy on one of your posts. It shows the keeper's preference on which post to have that one player on. You always have a guy in front of your 6-yard box, and then you have your big center back marking right at the top of your 6-yard box. And that's exactly how Charleston had it set up. I wouldn't have changed anything. It's just unfortunate that you just had Ikaza against two giants on the back post. You got the goal in. I have to applaud our response again. It's just the fact of having the city of Charleston there that night, just having it so loud, the way the fans cheered and wanted us to get right back into it and have that immediate response, not just once this season, twice now. He's shown us now twice where we have gone down in a game and we've immediately responded. So we have now only been down, I think, a total of 6 minutes this season. Across two games where we've gone down in. I mean, it's pretty awesome right there to have that type of immediate effect into the game.
So let's talk about the goals Nick had to brace, right? First goal was kind of interesting. We're in the box and a shot, ricochet, and MD cleaned it up.
Yeah, I mean, he did all the legwork on the play to begin with the hold up, shielding off two defenders, and then had the wherewithal to just lay it back to the guy who had the better option. But then from there, he didn't stop working. You see him just spin right as that shot's hit and get that rebound for a near post goal with the goalie very tight on it. So it was a clever finish.
I'm just going to say it again. MD is my guy. He is having an electric year. He is a player who's constantly giving 100%, and you can even see it in the training videos and everything, the amount of effort he puts into every single drill. He takes everything so seriously, and it comes on right onto the field. You can see how it translates. I'm going to get his jersey at the end of the season. I'm going to get a signed jersey by him.
MD, beware. You might be mugged by Ryan.
I'm getting a game jersey. He's going to hand that to me gladly.
I'm glad the doctor was out, because that finish was very clinical. Lucidity was, everybody had their hands up because they felt like he was offside, but he was clearly onside, and he was in the right place, made sure he stayed onside and put it in the bottom corner. And Lucidity didn't even have a response.
And that's his second one this season as well, where the last one he scored against Miami, it looked like he was offsides as well. They had to call that one, and effort he's putting in constantly, it's showing.
We didn't have to wait long for the battery to go into the lead because Archer won a penalty off a corner kick and no one else is going to step up to that penalty spot except Nick.
For you kids out there listening, if you're a defensive back, keep your damn hands down. Because that's exactly what it was, a handball. The guy had his hand up way above his head, and it was just silly, you know. I hopefully coaches, they're coaching center backs, go, keep your damn hands down. So, but we'll take it, right? So Nick steps up. Ryan, take it from here.
Clinical finish. He looked the keeper off to the left side. Keeper dove. He already knew where he was going, and Nick just placed it right down the middle. It was a clinical finish.
Smart play. I think this is where the homework comes in, right? You kind of, coaches, assistant coaches tell you, you're the guy that's taking the penalties. This keeper likes to dive to his right. Just don't go to his right. So I think it's something that's a little forgotten, because when you're on that penalty spot in front of your home crowd and you just want to get the lead back, nerves can be in there, but this guy is so damn cold, ice in his veins. Nothing bothers him. This was, what, fourth goal of the season, this pen?
And then a brilliant goal by Nick to get his fifth. Patrick, you and I were walking down to the other end with Lavaros down there, and we heard it going on. All I saw was this rocket ripple the back of the net, and people just went crazy. And watching it back, it was an outstanding shot. He was coming across, I think he was traversing to his left, and put it across in the far post. Ryan, did you have a good view of it?
I think I had one of the best views, honestly. I was up in the behind our own goal at the time, and I was up in the stands, and the way I could see it, the moment Nick got the ball and he was going to shoot it with his left foot, I was already standing up, and I screamed so loud, everyone around me still didn't realize it because the ball wasn't in the back of the net yet, and I just knew it was going in the back of the net, and then everyone screams and jumps up and celebrates, so I just looked like that lunatic screaming before everybody.
I mean, he's showing us how to score a goal, I think, in every single way possible. We were all expecting his head to be the most lethal this season. He's doing it from the penalty spot. He's now chesting the ball down and half volleying them into the corner. Like, what can't this guy do? I need to call him. Maybe he'll do my taxes for me.
So we'll have a doctor and an accountant on the team for us. So it was another PK?
Yeah, I mean, this whole play started with Ikaza on the back post, again, attacking it, and did get a head to the ball, but the keeper came out totally, like, he didn't Mike Tyson his head, but he definitely made contact with his fist, right? So enough to award the penalty, even though we did get contact with the ball. We changed it up. Molloy, I think he deserves to take one from the spot. He's man of the match in some of our eyes for about half the season now, most of the games. But I think he didn't watch Nick's penalty, because he goes left, keeper goes left. It's a great save, because it is to the bottom corner, which is probably the hardest one to save. And then the follow-up is just, the keeper makes another amazing play on this. So maybe he was trying to keep Louisville in it, but a little too late. So disappointing we didn't get it, but I'm happy we're getting these chances and attacking the ball to at least get the penalty in the first place.
Yeah, I think it was a clear pen on the backside by Ikaza, and he's a great job by winning it. Now, when it comes to Molloy taking it, is a great shout on switching it up. Molloy definitely deserved to have taken it. You could instantly see on his face as soon as it was taken, he wanted it back. Now, as a coach, you may not want to give him the next penalty kick. And if he doesn't get to take the next penalty kick as a teammate, I would want to give it back to him, because you know, as a teammate, he's going to bury the next one. And that's going to boost the team's confidence right there, because everyone's going to be back on the same page. I think he just mishit it. And the keeper, it goes to that side and he mishit it, because it looked like he was trying to go top, up high middle.
It did. It looked like it wasn't the best pin taken. Does that keeper always go to the right? I know he seems like a jackass. In front of us, he would seem like a jackass. And we'll talk about him face planting later on. But it seems like those two times he went to the right and just unlucky.
Yeah. I mean, if Nick took it, I think we have confidence he would have scored his sixth goal. And that would have been on his 19th shot of the season. So pretty good tally there. 5-18 so far. So I guess he's just trying to spread the wealth a little bit.
Yeah. So post-match, I heard from other coaches that this was a a game of two halves. And I don't know where the Lou City coach was watching, but it seemed like it was two halves, and both halves were by the battery. Two just, you know, set pieces that we were not turned on, you know, locked in 100% for both of them. Goals come in, but the rest of it was all battery. The second half, we just kind of sat back a little bit and absorbed their attacks. And we'll talk here in a second about looking at how our Ford MD compared with Wilson Harris, who is all the everybody's agaga about him and his ability to score a couple goals on easy teams. And let's talk about our midfield. So, Ryan, what do you think about the overall? Was it a game of two halves, or was it just battery the whole time?
I think it was battery the whole time. I think the story of two halves is just people trying to make themselves feel better at the end of the day. You know, first half, 3-1. What are you going to do in the second half? You can still continue to press and push the throttle on the throat, or you can ease up, just take it in and rest your players a little bit more and just try to dink it in behind. That's what the battery did. Yes, we did lose the second half 1-0, but we still maintained the pressure. We still was at them the entire time, and we continued.
But neither goal was from open play. It was from a set piece.
Yeah, it was from a set piece. And, you know, end of the day, still a win.
I pulled up, look at some of the stats about the midfield, and I'm looking at Emilio, Malloy, and Allen versus Mogul, Davila, and Serrano. So passing, Emilio had 33 passes, Malloy 76, Allen 35. Lou City, it was 16-54-33. When you start looking at percentages, Emilio 78.8, Malloy 78.9, Allen 77.1. You look at Lou City, 62-79-63. Even more critical, I believe, passes in the opposition half. Emilio, 83%. Loy, 61%. Allen, 76%. Lou City, 54, 81, 53. We're passing much better, and we're controlling the ball. I think that story of two halves is kind of, like you said, Ryan, was trying to build something out of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, we're big Eastern rivals. You know, we knocked this team out in the semifinals last year. We stopped them from getting to the finals. Of course, they're going to say some stuff when they come into our home and they lose when they're on opening the season 4-0, top of the league. That left a bitter taste in their mouth. They wanted this game so badly.
Yeah, Brad, I think you're missing one more stat out of these guys, and that's three of the battery players were 10 chances created compared to one for Louisville. And I think that's all you really need to look at right there. It doesn't matter. Game of two halves, this or that. Who made more chances? Who took those chances? We did. We move on with the win, and we remain undefeated this season.
Oh, absolutely. And let's look at the comparison of, and reason why I'm harping on Harris, because there's so much press on him and how well he's doing and how well he's starting out the season. But let's look at MD versus Wilson Harris, right? Pretty identical on a lot of their stats, except for shots on target, MD 3, Wilson 1. Chances created by MD 3, Wilson 0. Fouls 1, MD 3, Wilson 1. Fouls conceded, MD 0, 3 conceded by Harris. And then the most amazing stat, because we're talking about MD's, a forward, the passing accuracy. MD's at 77% and Wilson's at 45%. That's a big, desperate numbers between the two. And just, I think it really goes to show how much MD, not just scoring goals, but also how much he adds to the attack.
Yeah, he's putting in work all over the place. And he got a goal off of this passing accuracy. If he doesn't lay that ball off and he tries to take it on himself, maybe the shot's blocked, maybe it's safe, but he makes the right decision. And this is so dangerous for an opposition defense to think of that, hey, this tall guy who can shield us center backs off may lay it off to someone else to have the hit. And then he's not done yet. He's going to keep going and maybe work to get any ricochet. So I wouldn't want to be a defense facing MD. That's for sure.
Ryan, talk to us about the doctor.
my boy. So amazing. But again, as a defender, I wouldn't want to go against him. As a keeper, I wouldn't want to go against him. You can say he's a poacher. You can say whatever you want about him. At the end of the day, he puts the ball in the back of the net, and that's what we need. For him going forward, all he's got to do is just keep doing what he is doing. I don't think any defenders are really going to have a game plan for him. If they double mark him, what is that going to do now? It's going to create space underneath, and it's going to create space in the middle. More goals are going to get scored. We have proven that we have more goal scorers on our team than just him, right? Because he's not our leading goal scorer right now on our team. Yet he's proven to be the most lethal on the team because teams are drawn to him because he's so big.
So where does that put us as a team? I mean, we spread goals across several different players. How do we apply that to future matches?
It's hard to scout us because we're becoming a team that, yes, we have a small roster, yet you don't know what kind of look we're going to give you that night, because now we've given Louisville a completely different look than what we've been playing in our midfield. And this was probably one of our best midfields. Will we continue? Maybe not. We may change it up again because we can. And that's the ability that we have with this roster. We have so many starters that we can switch around and flip into different positions, and it's beautiful. And we have this magic with us right now, and we can continue this streak. The unfortunate part is that I'm going to kind of blame USL Championship a little bit on this one for stiffing Charleston Battery on a hard schedule right out the gate. And scheduling us for back-to-back-to-back games. So we now just played on Saturday, then played at home on Tuesday. Now we're back on the road again this Saturday. So we'll be playing 7 games on this upcoming Saturday while the rest of the league is on 4. I think Detroit's on a 2-week bye week right now after playing 4 games. That'd be nice.
They got tired.
Yeah, man, that must be nice. It's because they have to play in the 3rd round of the U.S. Open. It's because they didn't have the round of 32 luxury?
Apparently. I don't know. So, interesting, we talked about this before, that we have a whole team of starters. So who do you replace and who do you move around? And so Gutierrez is fantastic on the ball. He is really technical on the ball. He can move it in tight spaces. And yet we put in Torres, who's good on the ball also, but just a little bit different player. And you can see how much it just changed the dynamic a little bit. And to our advantage. And so it's hard. What do? Do you start Torres every match? I don't know. Do you start Gutierrez every match? I don't know. Do you split time? Because they're both fantastic players there on the left, and they've really done a great job all season so far.
All I got to say is I'm happy I'm not Ben Pierman right now. I'm just happy I'm not making that decision on who is starting, because that is got to be one of the hardest jobs right now.
Well, the easy selection is DeSantos on the left and Segbers on the right. That's easy because they're just ballers, and they are just keeping the ball tight and adding so much to the attack and defense. Those two, they're the two I think you don't change out necessarily. But everybody else, it seems like it's interchangeable. We can move people around.
It's a luxury to have, but maybe Torres getting these 2 starts in a row is just giving Gutierrez a little break. I mean, he's played a lot of minutes so far, like Ryan touched on. We've already played 6 matches, and most of the league's only at 4. So with the smaller man squad, you can at least rotate these guys around because they have the form that they're still playing in, that it's not dropping off. We're not seeing a lack of chances. Seeing a lack of goals. We're just seeing consistency no matter who's in there. So I really think this is probably the best tight-knit midfield we've seen, where you can take someone out and you have confidence in who's coming in to replace him for that match, and that he may get 60 minutes and we have someone coming on so he can have a rest after 60 and still play the exact same way, and we're not dropping off at all. So it's nice, but hopefully these guys can get a little bit more of a break, seeing how everyone else in the league gets that opportunity except us.
So let's talk about 2 players that one of them been out for a while. Drack appeared that he was injured, but he got some minutes in.
Drack came on as a sub. I think it was the 92nd minute. We only played about 98 minutes total, so I mean, we didn't see him since the first week when it looked like potentially a back injury, or we weren't really sure. So still no idea what's going on with him, but it's really nice to at least see him get some minutes back, because that's what you do with injured players. Give him a little bit and a little bit, you build him back up. But I mean, at this rate, talked about it, touched on it a lot. Dos Santos is playing out of his mind. So there's a spot to be challenged for, but it's not going to be given up either.
And I think you're absolutely right. It's not going to be a spot that's going to be easily given up, but you're adding your depth back to your squad. And that's the importance right now with such a tight amount of games coming up. And that's the importance of, because we can have Drack on the other side. Like if Segbers needs to rotate into the middle, or if, you know, if we need to make these necessary changes, we can rotate these guys, because Drack can play on the right. He doesn't just have to play on the left. Segbers can slide up into the midfield if he wants to. I mean, you can do a lot with this squad.
You just say Segbers is going to play midfield?
He can. Are you kidding me? I think Segbers would be one of the best CDMs in the league.
Why do you think that?
I think, well, because the style of play, he reminds me, okay, this may be a little cliche, he reminds me of Conte, just the way he plays. He is a smaller defender, but he will put you out as you'll go. He'll push you to the side as a defender. He'll slide you to a side and dictate the way the midfield is played. But then he'll also continue to press you backwards. And the fact that he can move the ball all the way and press you backwards is a game changer in the midfield.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a couple of guys that are just maybe not in their final positions. I know, pretty sure Nick, when he came into the league, was trying to be played as a left back for some dumb reason. And you can see he's clearly a striker when he's on the battery, because he scores left and right. But I think Segbers would be awesome to see in the midfield, just with his pace more than anything, to push the ball wide, create a big space that the center backs are going to have to allow their outside backs to chase, and then be 1v1 with either Myers or Lacava if he's on the field. I mean, and literally anybody that comes on, they're going to have to deal with, like that Robbie Crawford, like anybody is going to be an issue.
So Coach Pierman, if you're listening, when you get a chance, you want to see Segbers doing a little midfield action.
Maybe in a game that's like 8-1 or something, and try it out for a couple minutes.
Let's talk about Robbie, the great Scotsman. He came in, got a couple more minutes. It's great to see him still playing out there and giving it all, just all smiles after the match. We ended Louisville's 4-game unbeaten streak, which was nice to do. Once again, we kind of stopped them. You know, it's always good. Everybody, they're coming into this match, and you're just reading all the press and hearing all of these things about how good they are and how they're going to, you know, we were the underdogs.
Dude, we don't get any love. Even after last year, I think we had to really fight to get some love from the USL with, you know, the amount of point turnaround we had. Our coach itself, I still think Coach Pierman was robbed on Coach of the Year last year. And it takes a while for Charles Natch to get in the spotlight. And Louisville, you know, they've won the league a few times, and they're a team that were the first team to get on CBS, and that was all spotlighted and everything, and they continued the hype train. And they thought they were going to come into Charleston and win easily. Oh, what a game.
So what's it going to take for us to earn a little respect? Do we have to beat the other 4 undefeated teams with us? We have to beat them, and then maybe people will give us a little nod?
I don't care about respect. We just keep winning. Keep winning. People will start understanding that the battery is a little more than just some little team in South Carolina, that we've got some players and got some ballers here, and we can handle our own against anybody. Let's talk about the importance of this being a nationally televised game. What does that mean to the battery, and what does that mean to not just the battery, but the USL in totality? That all of a sudden we're this league, this team is ended up on national TV.
I think it's a great spotlight for these guys to put Charleston on the map again for the whole country to see. And it was a show. They put on a show that night. And what a game it was. and a way to have the entire stands packed. As we saw, it was, I think you said the numbers was close to 4,500 people. That was almost how many we had in the final last year at the same stadium, the final. And it was a Tuesday night on a weekday, school night. It's just, it is insane. It was insane to see. And the atmosphere, all about it, I felt like I was in Germany a little bit in a tier four team, you know, just chanting and cheering and screaming our heads off. It was awesome.
Yeah, big. Fortunately for us, we get to be at this game, so we didn't have to sit at home, have it on the telly, and have beers by ourselves. We got to enjoy it with each other and seeing it live. But even seeing some highlights back, like, great job. The Battery broadcasting is second to none compared to the rest of the league. I mean, everything's shown. We're not cutting to replays while open play is still going or dangerous things are happening. So kudos to them on that. But yeah, I look forward to many more matches coming up, whether it be ESPN or CBS or the Golazo Network. I mean, a huge thing for the USL Championship.
Wait, Pat, so are you saying that we don't have a GoPro recording our games?
We have upgraded like no protection or stuff? To a real camera that can zoom out and pan a little bit. There's no cut-ins or zoom-ins every time someone touches the ball wide. So it's a little nice to watch as a fan.
And we can see the whole pitch. We saw near touchline and the far touchline. We could see it all. We're going through it. The only hiccup was Nick's goal from open play. They finally got some replays to where they showed the whole thing, but when it was live going through, I think they were kind of a little bit behind, so you really couldn't see him strike the ball, but they corrected it by showing all the replays afterwards. It was a fantastic goal.
Well, as we all are when Nick strikes the ball, we're all a little bit behind because we're not expecting him to be that great every time.
Maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's that electric excitement that caused the cameraman to just like shudder a little bit because he knew what was about ready to happen.
Come out to the next home game and you'll see it live.
We'll put Ryan like in an orange third kit jersey from last year so you can see him and you can see him jumping up and down. So let's look to this Saturday, April 13th, 7 p.m. is kickoff, playing up in Indy against Indy 11, going up against Augie.
Oh, what a match this would be. I think this is going to be a really good test for the Battery on the road again. And it's a good match for Leland as well to have a former teammate going against him. And it's a test to, can Leland keep Augie out of his head? Can they not play mind games? And can he just play the game simple and keep Augie in his pocket for the night? That's what I'm really looking for out of him and out of the back line.
It's interesting because Indy, when you look at their record, they're 1-3-1. You know, a loss, a win, a draw, and two losses, and they're 10th in the table out of 12. But then you look at their schedule so far. They lost to Oakland. They beat Memphis, drew to Sacramento, but then they had to play Detroit and Lou City, and they lost to both of them. So it's not like they're playing bottom of the table teams. You know, the last two matches were top of the table teams.
Unfortunate enough, they're going to play again. They got to play the top of the team again. We are top of the table right now, and we have to play again this week. So we'll be 2 to 3 games ahead of everybody.
I'm sure they're not looking forward to playing us at all. And then pretty sure they have a turnaround for the U.S. Open Cup on Wednesday, right after they get smacked down by the Battery. So that's a little tough.
The Indy just had two players transferred in from Miami. And I'm not going to try to pronounce their names except for Ben Mines. And we saw Ben Mines, he subbed on when we played Miami at 78 minutes. So shout out to Soli and to Ramsey from West Ashley Soccer. Ryan, you know a little bit about this. They're playing tomorrow night. Who are they up against?
Tomorrow night at home against Ashley Ridge, the current defending state champions in the 5A for South Carolina. So it's going to be a great match for us. Looking to defend our home turf.
And even better, at the home turf, I'll be flipping some burgers for the concession stand for a little bit. So if you want a good burger or a dog, come on out. Watch party, Edmonds Host Brewing Company. So Ryan, you and I spent a little bit of time this afternoon Patrick, you know Chris from House of Brews in West Ashley. Big soccer fan there. Got some battery stickers up. Maybe that might be the little place if you can't make it down to Edmunds Oaks. Match days is stopping there and watch a match.
Yeah, love House of Brews.
Yeah, I love House of Brews. One of the favorite places to go to. Dog friendly, so everyone knows that you can have your dogs out in the back. Food trucks out front.
Yeah, also I have a quick question before we hop off. I'm curious, with another great game, who are you guys picking from your man of the match? I think we all know where Ryan's going.
Actually, I'm going to go a little different. I'll go ahead and speak first. I'm going to speak a little differently. MD, of course, is going to get an honorable mention, obviously. It's my guy. But my man of the match is going to go to Adam Grinwis for keeping us in the game and having massive saves. He had a solid, in my head, he came up massive on more than one occasion. It was about four or five chances. Two of them got called away, either for an offsides or a delayed penalty call. But he still made the save, and they were just massive. And the fact that he made them. There was one save in about the 20th minute where he had a tip over the bar. It was just a pure reaction save. It was one of the best shots, and I was right behind it, too, to see it. And it was really cool.
I'm going to go with Emilio. He went out there, and he hustled, and he busted his ass the whole time. Playing that kind of attacking center mid, he was in there. He took a straight-up punch, which I think bordered on a sending off by the keeper there, and took it for the team and ended up laying on the ground. I was really concerned for him because he wasn't moving for the couple minutes, but the whole match, he was just moving, passing the ball. And you look at his numbers, I think he was my man of the match.
All right. So I'm going to go with Malloy for my man of the match. Overall play, amazing. The link up, love it. But I think most importantly, he's second in the entire championship in chances created with 15. I think he's going to get about four or five more coming up in this game. But one that speaks to my heart, number one in passes, tied for one in crosses. So this guy is everywhere on the field. You love to see it. And defensive work right, offensive work right. You can't stop him. Love it.
What's your guys' match predictions?
Yes, 2-0.
2-0. To Charleston, obviously. Okay, I like it. I like it. Keep the unbeaten streak. 4-3. I like it. Pat, what do you got?
3-0 still. Battery.
3-0 battery. All right, I'm going to go. It's just hard to say because the battery, you want them to continue that run off of the last time we played them at home in the playoffs, beat them 5-0. We're on a tear right now playing 3-0 Louisville, who have only allowed 2 in their last 2 games. I'm going to go on the edge and say 4-0 with Meyer scoring a goal again because that's my boy.
Okay, that about wraps it up for this podcast. Remember, watch party at Edmunds Oaks Brewing Company. Come down there. Had a great time. I've been told all the TVs, volume, everything is going to be up, focused on the battery. So meet us all down there. If you guys got nothing else, peace. We'll see you Saturday.
See you guys.
See you Saturday.
Do you hear my cannons roar? Can you feel the thunder? We the fleet of Charleston come to put you under.